Kia ora, I'm Sonia Wilson. There are some stories that simply need to be told, not because they're uplifting, life-changing, or just a good watch, but because they're about the experience of someone who can't speak out for fear of persecution, someone whose experience nonetheless needs to be considered. Tonight, this is a very personal account of the experience of a woman, a wife, who has chosen to stay with her husband, who is now a convicted sex offender. She's far from alone. She's one of the many silent victims. For legal reasons and for her safety, we can't disclose her identity. The words, of course, are her own, but they are voiced tonight by an actor. Here's Hannah Ockleford.
In my heart, I know that he didn't want to be like that.
It's an unusual love story, where for many of us the love would have stopped long ago.
At the beginning I told no one, not even my friends. They didn't find out until after he was incarcerated, so I went through that all by myself. To this day, I really wish we'd sat in the car and we'd killed ourselves.
Because the path you've had to walk has been that hard.
Yes, the enormity of it. The sadness of it, the way people treat you.
You might not know how you'd act until something like this actually happened to you. But among women whose husbands have sexually offended, some decide to stay in their relationship, like Sally.
Sally is the name we've given to this woman who's been brave enough to share her story. We've had to protect her identity, so while you can't see her, it's important you listen. Because the reality is, one in four Kiwi women have been victims of sexual abuse, and one in eight men. That means it could easily be someone you know whose partner has sexually offended against a child.
We're not saying it's okay what these men do. It's not okay. I'm angry at what my husband's done. The first thing I thought of was, why? Why did my husband do this? Why does he think like that? The community wants to get angry first, and they don't want to think of why, because it's too scary.
Sally's asking you to consider your perspective. Consider how you'd react if you found yourself in this situation.
Think of a guy you admire most, and how would you feel about that person if they did it? If they were a sexual offender, would you be quick to forget him? To cast him aside?
Sally's relationship began as a straightforward romance.
He came into the shop I worked in, and he had a nice smile, and I thought, I'd like to get to know him better.
And so Sally and James, also a name we've given him, began dating. It led to marriage and almost a decade together.
He's intelligent. He likes to help people. He's a genuinely nice guy. Anyone that meets him thinks he's a nice guy.
Before the offending, did you guys have a good sexual relationship?
It was average. You know, we were both older, so obviously we're not young teenagers anymore. But we were always cuddling. I'd always make sure I kissed him goodbye in the morning.
What were the first signs that something happened?
It's just the little things. It's hard to describe.
In her own home with a young female guest, Sally witnessed changes in her husband's behaviour.
It's a big step to accuse someone of it, so I wanted to be sure first. Their character changes when they're around a certain victim.
Could you give me an example?
It's very subtle. I knew what he wanted to do. There was no offending at that stage, but he needed help. There was something not right.
Sally confronted James. Despite this, he still managed to sexually abuse the girl.
I can't take it away from her. I can't make it better for her. I failed my victim.
She calls her husband's young victim her victim. It's an insight into the burden she carries.
I got a phone call. And I knew everything that was said to me on that phone call was true. And I just looked at him. And I said, "What have you done?" And I literally collapsed. And I screamed and I told him to get out of the house. And the first thought is, I have to leave my husband.
That was the first thing that came into your
head? The first thing? I lost everything. My home, my husband, my life. I've lost everything. Then the second thing that went through my mind is, would I still be ashamed if I left him? I still would have been ashamed that he'd done that, and I was with a man that had done that, even if I'd left. So what's the difference of staying or leaving? I'd only be leaving to do what society wants me to do, what the community wants me to do. And I wasn't quite ready to give up on him at that point.
What was James's reaction after that phone call?
In a way, he looked relieved, defeated and relieved, because he knew it was going to come. He knew the consequences. Everybody knows the consequences when you do something like that and where you end up.
Charged and convicted, James was sent to prison.
Is it time that, as a society, we talked about sexual offending more?
Yeah, I think we're well past the time about needing to do that.
Shelley Lomaz is a psychologist with WellStop. She works one-on-one with the offenders, as well as their family members left to pick up the pieces.
Often it's not really recognised what that impact is on the family of the man who has been involved in some form of sexually offensive behaviour. They don't want to be angry. They want to be supportive. They want to be helping their partners move in a healthy direction.
Sally was still married, yet living alone and deeply conflicted.
One side wants to kill him, and the other side wants to care for him and hug him forever.
You really love James?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Do you still trust him?
Not completely, no.
If it happened again?
I would like to say I would leave. Enough is enough. But I don't know. I honestly don't know what I would do.
I can understand why people react strongly to somebody who's sexually offended. What I don't understand is how do they expect people to make change when you shut down all the processes that you and I would ordinarily use to evolve and move to a better place. We leave them alone, we leave them isolated, we leave them without employment, we leave them without families, we leave them without hope.
Is there hope for them?
Definitely. Everybody's capable of change. And the premise there is that, of course, that you need to want to change and you need to know what it is that you're wanting to change. You need the support of people who love you.
With James locked up, Sally's been going to a WellStop support group. Six other women, all with partners who've sexually offended.
We can lean on each other. We understand each other because no one else really knows. They try to be understanding, but they don't really know what we're going through.
It's a rare thing to find others also negotiating their way through an intensely lonely and traumatic time.
You see what you were going through, and you see where you were, say, 2 years ago or 3 years ago to where you are now, and because you've been through that, you can help others.
This particular group of women are just a handful of those who suffer from their partner's offending. Left with so many questions. How come I didn't know? Why did he do it? How could he do that to me?
I know this sounds really, really awful, but I felt jealousy. What did she have that I don't? I felt awful. I felt ugly. I haven't told anyone this, but I used to stand in the mirror and slap my face really hard and say, "You're disgusting. My husband doesn't even know that I did that. I haven't even told the psychologist that I've done that." I would be at work holding a knife and I just wanted to shove it into my arm. Just because I was in so much mental pain. I wanted physical pain as well to take the mental pain away.
To process what James has done, Sally's also been seeing a well-stocked psychologist.
We don't say you should leave him. We don't say you should stay with him. We say, what's happening for you? How's this affecting you? What do you want to do next? How can we support you move through this?
Do you imagine getting to a point where you want to know quite in depth about James's urges or desires towards children?
Yes. It may not change how I feel about him, because I believe he genuinely does love me. But I need to know how to help him. And if I'm going to be there to support him and help him, I need all the details, not just part of it. I need everything.
Can you imagine wanting to have sex with him again?
That's a hard one. After it happened, no, I didn't want him to touch me sexually. I wanted to be comforted and hugged by him, but sexually I feel inadequate as a woman. And I don't know how I'm going to be, and I might cry the first time, in fact. I probably will, and I'll probably think, what's he thinking about when he has sex with me? If I can't have sex with him, then there's no relationship. We just have a friendship.
She's chosen, for now, to give her marriage another shot, give James a second chance.
You're a brave woman sticking by him.
You say that. Maybe I'm stupid. Maybe the community thinks I'm stupid. Sometimes I think I'm stupid.
And by speaking out, Sally's asking society to stop for a second and think before being so quick to judge.
It's not the easy road. It's so not the easy road to go. Do I wish things were different? Yes, but they're not.
Now, if you need help or advice from the WellStop organisation, they can be contacted at wellstop.org.nz. We'll also put those details up on our Facebook page.